It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. In January, Patty Shachner's victory in District 10 was an early indicator about how the state and local politics might shift in the Trump era. Shachner, a Democrat, won the open seat that had been held for 17 years by Republican Sheila Harsdorf. Then in June, Republicans lost a Senate seat in District 1 when Caleb Frostman beat Andre Jacques in another special election. Now Frostman and Jacques are competing again in November. The question we have for Steve Walters today is, can this blue wave continue? Is it really a wave? And how might this change the Senate and the state government as a whole? Steve, of course, is the senior producer at Wisconsin Eye and the former Madison bureau chief for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He recently wrote a piece for Urban Milwaukee titled Six Senate Races That Will Decide Party Control. Steve, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Carrie. Hey, Carrie, where's your cheesehead hat?
My cheesehead? Hey.
Bucky won. Cubs sweep. The Brewers sweep the Giants.
Okay.
And Aaron Rodgers comes back 24. And where's your cheesehead hat? It's a good day.
It is a great day.
Okay.
And
I was really
disheartened when Aaron Rodgers limped off the field yesterday and really happy.
Carted off.
Yes.
Came back.
Yes.
Yes.
Yay.
You didn't buy a cheesehead yet, did you?
No, I have not bought a cheesehead yet.
All right. Well, next time, we will see to that next time.
Okay. We're going to be talking about politics. The other game that Wisconsin loves. We're going to be talking about the Senate, but I really want to start with the Assembly. I believe Republicans still hold 64 of the 99 seats in the Assembly.
Yeah.
Do you think that...
They started this session, the last session, 17-18 session, 64-35, which was the most in decades. I don't think there are any vacancies. So, yeah, I think you're still right. I think we're 64-35. I could be wrong. And
might there be a change?
A shift?
Yeah.
Traditional betting in the Capitol is that the Republicans may lose 5, 6, 7 seats, but Capitol pundits don't see the Assembly switching, Gary.
Okay. That's a lot of seats to pick up. It is.
It really is.
So people aren't as confident that Republicans, though, will remain control of the Senate. So why is that?
Well, you have... first of all, let's do Senate 101. There are 33 members of the Senate. They serve four-year terms. Alternately, either 16 or 17 senators are up. This year, you have 17 Senate seats that are up. However...
So it goes by even numbers and odd numbers.
Yeah, and this year the odd number districts are up.
Okay.
Of the 17 that are up, 4 senators, 2 Republicans, 2 Democrats are unopposed.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you have contested 13 elections. But there's really 6 and maybe 8 seats that are going to determine which party controls the Senate in January.
Why are these 8 seats? Why are you picking out this? Let's say 6 and maybe 8 seats. Why are these more contested than other ones?
Well, let's do a little history. I mean, when the Senate opened in the 17-18 session, it was 2013. And then, as you alluded to in your opening, they won in the Sheila Harsdorf.
20 Republicans, 13 Democrats.
Yes, okay. Thank you. Thank you for the clarification. Then Caleb Frostman won. So now we're looking at 18-15. So a flip of 2-3 changes Senate control. And you have a lot of dynamics out there. You have, will Senator Frostman win again over Andre Jacques on November 6th? That's one of the seats that will determine to get control. The Democrats have to hold District 1, which is Door County, and they have to also keep District 31, which is a Vinehout seat. Kathleen Vinehout ran for governor. And then they also have to hold Janet Buley's seat in the 25th, Northwest Wisconsin. So then where can they build? They could build in District 19, which is the Senate President Roger Roth. He's being opposed by Lee Snodgrass, her ads say, I'm a single mom, I'm a nurse, and working people need a better shake.
Mm-hmm.
And they could also pick up in the 17th, which is Southwest Wisconsin. Senator Howard Markline, yes, he's a respected member of the Joint Finance Committee, but he's being challenged by Chris Marion, a energetic woman in the Southwest Wisconsin, Democrat.
So I should note that 17, you say Southwest Wisconsin, 17 actually starts in Southwest Wisconsin and ends in the middle of the state.
Goes almost up to Rapids or Marshfield. It's a curiously drawn district.
It is. Carrie. So this is part of the Supreme Court lawsuit that says that our districts were drawn sort of wonky. I'm assuming that this is part of that.
Yes. These districts were drawn by Republicans in 2011, and the lawsuit challenging them, as you're aware, went all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court, which declined to get involved, sent it back to the Court of Appeals.
Right. I should also note that District 19, that's where Appleton is. Like, that's the biggest city in District 19. Right?
Yeah, that's Fox Valley, and let's talk about some factors there.
Mm-hmm.
That district includes the Kimberly-Clark, which has said we may close.
Oh, right.
One of those manufacturing plants, which would be 600 jobs. So that's an issue. That's why Senator Roth, and as the Senate president, he said, let's come in and give Kimberly-Clark the same tax breaks and tax incentives that we gave Foxconn, but there wasn't the votes for it because conservatives like Senator Nas and Senator Kapinga said, we're not going to go for that. So that's an issue up there. And dark stores is a major issue in the 19th. And how about highways? The governor said, let's have DOT take a look at widening 41 through the 19th. But the governor has also said, I don't have a long-range plan now to pay for highways, but I will by the end of the month. So the 19th is just a fascinating district.
And right now, the Senate president is in the 19th.
Yes.
What are the differences between these two candidates?
Well, I think... I've interviewed Lee Snodgrass, and she's basically saying that the Republican, all these major changes that Governor Walker and the Republicans have made, including Act 10, right to work, concealed carry, she's not necessarily opposed to all of them, but she's saying it's time that the working person gets a better shake from our elected officials. So that's one of her major issues. I mean, yeah.
Is she saying that Roth doesn't give the working person a better shake?
Yes, that okay. He's been a part of these major changes that she opposes, starting with Act 10 and then going on for the last 8 years.
We are talking to Steve Walters about the Senate races that are coming up. Steve says there are 6, maybe 8 that are in play that may flip or may flip so that the Democrats have control of the Senate. We're taking your calls, 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas at WPR.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. What issue is most important to you? Let's stick with the 19th. You said roads are a huge issue. Are the two candidates opposed on the Kimberly-Clark issue also?
Well, I have interviewed dozens of Democrats now, and they are against Foxconn, and they have a question whether you should extend. Most of them say, no, I can't justify, number one, the Foxconn tax breaks, tax incentives. Ergo, why should we give them to Kimberly-Clark? Now, I do not know, I want to be clear, I do not know the Democrat Snodgrass's position on Kimberly-Clark, so I don't want to misrepresent her position,
mm-hmm.
but it's a big issue.
It is a big issue. The argument might be that Kimberly-Clark is already a local business. We should help the business that's already here.
Kimberly-Clark is homegrown, whereas Foxconn owned mm-hmm. by a Taiwanese billionaire.
We are talking to Steve Walters about the state Senate races coming up and taking your calls, 800-642-1234. You can also email us at ideas at WPR.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. We want to know what issues are important to you, where you live, and what you think of your senator. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. Veteran Capitol reporter Steve Walters wrote a piece recently looking at key state Senate races and what they say about the Democratic Party's chances of taking back the Senate. We're going to go through those races. We are going through those races, and we would like to hear from you. Do you live in District 1? Did you vote in June for the special election? Are you likely to vote in November? What issues are out there for you, and would you change your mind between Frostman and Jacques when they just ran against each other just a few months ago? 800-642-1234, ideas@WPR.org, or you could tweet us at WPR Mornings. So before we go further, Steve, I want to ask you who Joe Murray is. You quoted him a lot in your piece, and talk to me about what he's come up with.
Joe Murray is a political veteran of the Capitol. And he's the political director for the Wisconsin Realtors Association. Mm-hmm. And they build composites for each of these Senate districts. And those composites are based on the turnout for presidential elections and elections for governor. And so each of these Senate districts, Joe was good enough to share his composite. Now let's talk about the composite Joe has in the first Senate district, which is Frostman versus Jacques. He says over the years, that's a 54% GOP district. That's his composite rating. And when you look up...
These are the people who normally vote. 54% of Republicans normally vote. It's not the makeup of the district.
It's the makeup of the district.
It is the makeup. 54%
yes.
of the people who live there are Republicans.
Have voted Republicans when you blend the turnout for president and governor.
Okay.
So that's the composite number.
Okay.
So his composite number for the first district is 54%. And when you look at what former Senator Frank Lissay got in 2014, he got 61%. So he blew out the opposition.
Mm-hmm.
However, Mr. Frostman won the special, as you repeatedly said, and you have this rematch. But in a column earlier this year, Mr. Murray said that Mr. Jacques would have a difficult time unseating Frostman if Frostman won the special.
Does he still think that?
I believe so.
So Frostman won the seat, 51.4% of the votes.
Yes.
You think that he's going to be able to hold that?
I can't tell. I haven't been up there yet. But it's just a fascinating district when you talk about Door and some of those issues up there.
Because it's not just Door. I mean, it's part of Outagamie.
It drops south.
The part of Brown County.
I think it's Kewaunee. That you have groundwater contamination issues in Kewaunee. Because one of those assembly districts is Representative Kitchens, and he's spent a lot of time working on groundwater contamination issues.
And where do Frostman and Jacques stand on that?
You know what? I haven't been up there recently, so I don't want to misrepresent their positions.
Okay. We're going to talk about the other Senate districts. We're just going to go through them. You've already talked about, I believe, Senate District 25, right? And I want to talk about 17.
17. That's a Republican Howard Markline. He is seeking a second term. He's opposed by Chris Marion. And the issues there are, how much should we help corporations? In other words, should Kimberly Clark get the same Foxconn tax benefits and tax breaks?
Mm-hmm.
I think Mr. Markline would have a difficult time voting for that. And you have the issue of rural schools. That's southwest Wisconsin, and you have the ag community there, strong in southwest Wisconsin. So that's a very interesting race. But Mr. Markline is a forensic accountant. He has served on Joint Finance Committee. He has been key in the dialogue of some of these tax cuts that the Republicans have passed.
Mm.
So he also works that district really hard.
Chris Marion is his opponent. She's a former Chicago journalist. She started a farm. And a farm market, I should say, and water resources are one of her key issues. Talk to me more about her.
Well, I haven't had a chance to interview her yet, but I will be soon, very soon. And I think, as you said, the environment plays a key role, and the ag community plays a key role in that district, and funding for rural schools, which includes the issue of school choice and vouchers. That's an issue that divides Republicans and Democrats. Vouchers and choice has been expanded, started in Milwaukee to Racine, now statewide.
Mm-hmm.
So issues like that are naturally at play. And the 17th?
And as we said, 17 is in the, it starts in the southwest part of the state, yeah, and kind of runs it to the south middle or middle west part of the state.
It was drawn to central Wisconsin.
It was drawn to central Wisconsin. And it was drawn to be a Republican stronghold, yes?
Well, the...
There's the whole packing and stacking thing. So some things are drawn to be Democratic districts, and some things are drawn to be Republican districts.
Mr. Murray's composite of the 17th says it's 47% GOP, which is one reason why. Hmm. There's an old axiom in the Capitol that when a legislator is seeking a second term, that's the best time that she or he could be defeated. Remember, Mr. Markline is seeking his second term. Roger Roth is seeking his second term. Caleb Frostman just got there.
Mm-hmm.
So you have all these new faces that are seeking second terms or full terms in the case of Senator Frostman.
And so you think that they are vulnerable because of that?
Well, I'd like to spend more time the 17th than I will. I
would like to spend more time in the 17th, yeah, just because it's really beautiful there.
Well, yes, but... Here's what's intriguing. In 2014, Senator Markline got 55% of the vote, but Mr. Murray's composite for the 17th shows it 47% GOP. So Mr. Markline overperformed in 2014. It's just an intriguing district.
We are talking to Steve Walters about the state Senate races and whether things may flip for the Senate here, and how the governor's race is going to play into this. We are taking your calls, 800-642-1234. You can also email us at ideas@WPR.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. One of the things that interests me is that there's Clark County, which is part of the 23rd District, except for one little bitty tiny part up in the northwest side that's part of the 29th District.
Right.
Why not just include the entire county in that district?
Well, this is the vagaries of drawing districts, and these districts were drawn by Republicans in 2011, and apparently somebody decided that little corner of Clark County needs to be in another district for reasons that I cannot fathom.
Right.
But you're talking about the 23rd. Now, that's
right.
That's an open seat. Senator Terry Moulton chose not to seek re-election.
Mm-hmm.
In 2014, Senator Moulton got 61% of the vote. And Mr. Murray's composite says that is a 52% GOP. So Senator Moulton overperformed in terms of the composite. This time around, you have State Representative Kathy Bernier, a former Chippewa County clerk, who's been a member of the Assembly and who had said, I'm going to retire. And then, when Mr. Moulton decided he wasn't going to seek re-election, she decided to run for the Senate. And he's opposed by Chris Kapsner, who I interviewed last week. He's a physician. He's working hard, but it's his first time around, and he admits this is all new to him.
He's an emergency room physician,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Why is he running? What are his issues?
His issues are full funding for our K-12 schools, and let's eliminate choice, and many of these Democrats that I interview are advocating for Badger Care for All, or eventually a universal health care system. So health care remains a top agenda point for these Democrats.
Okay, so they get into the Senate. Let's say this happens, and the Democrats do take the Senate, 17 to 16 or 18 to 15, whatever it is. The Assembly's not going to turn.
Think the Assembly's going to turn.
We don't think something drastic has to happen to turn the Assembly, because they have such a strong lead right now,
yeah,
in Republicans to Democrats. So how do they think they're going to get those things like Badger Care for All through?
Oh, this is, tell me who the next governor is, whether it's Governor Walker or whether it's Tony Evers, because here's that dimension. If Governor Walker is reelected, and he's going to submit a budget, and if Democrats control the Senate, Democrats are the firewall on issues like health care, funding of K-12, limiting school choice, re-energizing, in the words of Democrats, the DNR on environmental issues, things like that. So the Democrats are the firewall if Governor Walker is reelected and if the Assembly stays GOP. Now, the other side, if it's Governor Evers, he's got a strong partner in Senate Democrats if they run the Senate. And That's a leverage game. Then you put, assuming that the Republicans keep control of the assembly, you put then a Speaker Voss and the Republicans on the defensive. Mm. They can't play offense. If it's Governor Walker and Assembly Republicans, they play offense. If it's Governor Evers and Senate Democrats, they can play offense.
Interesting.
Look for a budget next October.
Yes, yes, yes. So, but how do you think the governor's race is going to play out in terms of turnout for the state senators?
Well, you have some senators who are frustrated that the governor has not yet announced a highway funding plan, and that's an issue. And you have Mr. Evers saying, look, if I'm elected governor, I'm going to put $600 million more towards special ed. And the governor hasn't announced what his next K-12 budget would look like. So you have, some of these issues do overlap. But as Tip O'Neill said, all politics is local.
All politics is local. And if he puts a funding plan in place next month, that's plenty of time for the election, yes?
Absolutely.
We are talking to Steve Walters about the Senate races that are coming up. Steve thinks that there are six key Senate races that may flip the Senate. And we're talking about the governor's race, too. Accepting your calls, 800-642-1234. It is The Morning Show, and you are listening to The Ideas Network. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. Veteran Wisconsin political journalist Steve Walters, with a bit of help from Joe Murray, who's the government affairs guy for the Wisconsin Realtors Association, looked at six state Senate races recently in a piece in Urban Milwaukee. We're exploring each of those six races and a few more. Are you in the 1st, 19th, 31st, 23rd, 17th, or 25th Senate districts? Do you even know what your Senate district is? And what do you think of the state legislature? What are the issues that you want to see addressed by a senator that you might vote for? 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas at WPR.org, or you could tweet us at WPR Mornings. So, Steve Walters, we have been through the 19th and the 23rd and the 17th and the 1st. Let's talk about the 31st right now.
Beautiful district. It's along the Mississippi River, Alma, Eau Claire, and this was a district that had been represented by Senator Vinehout, who ran for governor and didn't get the nomination. So you have former state representative Jeff Smith, who is from Eau Claire, seeking to represent the 31st Senate District. And you have a Plum City farmer, Mel Pittman, mm-hmm. who is running as a Republican candidate. And Mr. Pittman ran 4 years ago, and he came within 3 points of defeating Senator Vinehout. And our friend Joe Murray, the realtor, says that is a 46% GOP district, which means it's a 54% Dem district.
Right.
And it's just an absolutely fascinating district. A big issue there is property taxes. A couple of years ago, I talked to the Alma school superintendent, and he said, look, some of the cottages, the cabins that people are buying here as second homes are worth more than some of our basic homes of the residents of this district. So property taxes is a huge issue. Aid to rural schools is a huge issue in the 31st.
Which is connected to property taxes.
Absolutely. And so the 31st is just a very intriguing district because Mr. Pittman did well. Jeff Smith, though, has represented a third of the district. He was a state rep, and then he was defeated, and he tried again, lost, and he's interviewed him last week. He's working very hard, but so is Mr. Pittman, who mm-hmm. I interviewed last week.
Those cottages aren't... Those aren't taxed, those second homes?
Oh, they are taxed.
Oh, okay.
But the point is a cottage or a hunting land that you buy for $150,000, a home in Alma may only be valued at $89,000. So you have this disparity.
Interesting. We are talking about the state Senate races mostly. Steve Walters has identified six Senate races that are important and may flip the Senate or not flip the Senate, depending on who wins. 800-642-1234. Anne from Monona, welcome to the program, Anne.
Hi, this is really useful information. The governor signed Grover Norquist's pledge not to raise taxes in Wisconsin in response to corporate pressure. And I believe Grover Norquist is not a Wisconsinite. This happens all over the country. And so virtually all public services have been degraded in the state since Walker was elected. You know, the parks were defunded and the roads are falling apart and teachers haven't gotten raises for long periods. I think I heard on the news that no more lanes should be added when roads are fixed. I don't think that's an answer to anything. And I wondered, you know, I consider this a conflict of interest, really. You know, who is Walker looking out for? And he's at the top of his pyramid. So how many Wisconsin Republican politicians have also signed this Grover Norquist weird pledge?
Thank you very much for that. And Steve?
Well, the Norquist pledge is not one of the most timely issues, Ann. First of all, thanks for your call. Let me just explain the governor's position in one area. The governor said the gas tax, which is 30.9 cents, although there's two additional pennies for PECFA, 30.9 cents is our gas tax. That's not gone up since 2006. The governor has said, I will not raise the gas tax unless there is an offset in another tax. So this where the Norquist pledge comes in. The governor has said, I don't want to increase the net tax load on Wisconsin residents. Now, in terms of your question, how many Republicans now running have signed the Norquist pledge? I wish I knew, but I just don't, because the Norquist pledge is an issue a few election cycles ago. And you have a good question. I wish I had an answer. I don't. Sorry.
She brings up, when she asks this question, the DNR, roads, schools, these are all the issues that Democrats especially are hitting hard.
Yes, they are. And when you look at the Charles Franklin MU poll, the issues are jobs, health care, and education, which broadly cast is K-12 plus higher ed. How will the tuition freeze continue at the UW?
We are talking to Steve Walters, and we are taking your calls about what do you think of the Senate race? Who are you going to be voting for? What are the issues that are facing you, especially if you live in one of these six districts that Steve is talking about, 19 around Appleton, 23rd around Marshfield, 31st around Eau Claire, 17th around Spring Green, the first, which is Door County, and some of Brown County, some of like Eastern Green Bay, right?
Yeah.
And then there's the 25th, which is, I love the 25th horseshoe-shaped county.
It is. It was carved to be a horseshoe.
and do we know why? Do we know why it is surrounding but does not include Sawyer County and York County, Rust County?
10 years ago, it did include it because it was represented by Representative Jouk. But the I think the Republican computers suggested that you might want to create this horseshoe, and they did. But the 25th is just a fascinating race because you have, again, a first-term Democrat, Janet Buley, and she's seeking a second term. Go back to the axiom, the best opportunity to defeat an incumbent is when they're seeking their second term. Mm-hmm. She's opposed by James Bolin, who owns a resort in Cable. Mm. It intrigues me because it's an absolutely beautiful district, and but I just want to point out that Mr. Bolin is from the southern part of the district, and traditionally both Senator Jouk and Janet Buley are from the northern part, which includes Douglas County, which is a strong Democratic county.
Is it
also Mr. Bolin is making his first bid for
that is true. So
for the ledge.
So is it true that in Wisconsin, urban areas do tend to be more Democratic? Because you're talking about Douglas County. That includes Superior.
Yes.
That is true.
Yes. The battleground is the Fox Valley.
Because that is an urban area, but that is also a Republican right
now. It's a strong manufacturing area. Hmm. Take it from the northern Milwaukee suburbs up to Green Bay, and that is the battleground area. There's a reason Foxconn announced its first innovation center in Green Bay, followed by Eau Claire.
Followed by Eau Claire, which is one of the areas that is contested right now. Let us talk. First of all, 800-642-1234. Please give us a call and let us know what you're looking at in your Senate races. We talked about six. We've gone over these six. You said there were two others that were maybe in play. Talk to me about those.
When I did the column saying these six races will decide, I got emails, which I respect, saying, hey, you should also put on your list the 5th district, where State Representative Dale Cuenca is going for the state Senate seat being given up by Leah Vukmir.
Okay, Leah Vukmir. Where is the 5th district here?
That's Brookfield. That's western Milwaukee suburbs. And I respect the people who said that I should really list the 5th district, because Mr. Cuenca, who's also a CPA and a member of the Finance Committee and been a key part of some of these tax cuts and changes in our tax structure, is being opposed by Julie Henze, who has an intriguing background. She's a corporate trainer, an executive coach, and an outdoor adventure guide.
Cool.
She leads guides to the bottom of the Grand Canyon. And so she's an energetic Democratic opponent. However, one of the reasons that I didn't list the 5th district on the top six is that Mr. Murray's composite says it is a 58% Republican district.
Hmm.
So that's, if you want to, we've talked about the top six. This would be a 7th. An 8th might be...
Now, hang on a second. I want to stick with the 5th for a second.
Okay.
Because this is a suburban Milwaukee district.
Yes.
Where people may not be as happy with Trump as they may be in urban areas. So this 58%, does that hold if we're talking about Republicans who are more moderate?
No.
Okay.
It doesn't. And
right.
If there's a blue wave, and if suburban moms are really that upset with the president and... by extension, Republicans, then maybe that 58% doesn't hold in the 5th.
Okay.
Carrie?
So that's one to watch.
Yes.
Talk to me about the next one you're on your
9th district. This is where Devin Lemahue, I always have a problem with saying his name, is seeking a second term.
Mm-hmm.
And he's being opposed by a very a young former president of the Marquette University student body, Kyle Wheaton. He's only 25.
Wow.
And he's, I'm told, I haven't met him yet. I'll meet him soon. He's high energy everywhere. So this is a district that some people say could be in play. But Mr. Murray says, no, the composite 56% Republican, mm-hmm. not really in play.
Now, this is Sheboygan part of this district?
Yes.
And so it runs along the eastern part of the state, the shoreline.
Yes. South of the first.
South of the first. Has this historically been a Republican district?
Yes.
Or was it one of those that flipped in 2010?
It's more often Republican than Dem.
Okay. I want to talk. I started out talking about Patty Shachner. We're going to take a break in a minute, but I want to look at the 10th. I know that's not on your list, but that is what started this all. So we are talking to Steve Walters, and we are taking your calls, 800-642-1234. You can also email us at ideas@WPR.org, or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. I see we have some calls coming in. We will be back in a moment with more of The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. We are talking about the Senate districts that may be up in this coming election and may flip from Republican to Democrat. Steve Walters has written that there are six key races and two others that he thinks might be able to flip. We want to know what you think. 800-642-1234, ideas@WPR.org, or you could tweet us at WPR Mornings. Before we get to these folks, phone calls, I do want to note that I mentioned Schachter and then realized that Patty Schachter is in the 10th, and she's not up for re-election. That is an even number district.
She will not be seeking re-election, assuming she does seek re-election, until 2020. Ways off. A lifetime in politics.
A lifetime in politics. We are taking your calls. Nate from Milwaukee, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you for having me. I would say the top issue for me watching the state Senate in general would just see if it flips, because if either the state Senate flips or the governor's chair flips parties, that means you lose unified control of state government next time as redistricting, and we actually have honest elections rather than gerrymandering. And Leah Volkner's district is an interesting one in that it used to be very much a swing district. The state senator that held it before her was a Democrat, and of the three assembly districts in it, two of them were held by Democrats before. Now all three are held by Republicans purely thanks to gerrymandering. One of them used to be Eastern Wauwatosa, and now it includes part of Waukesha County when it never did. And I think that's why Dale Cuenca feels so confident to run for that state Senate district in spite of his own headlines in terms of taking down a protester's sign that was permitted.
Thank you very much, Nate. You want to answer that, Steve?
Well, I think the Democrat that you're alluding to just served one term, but I think you make a good point, and I want to thank you for making it. The Democrats, to stay in the redistricting game, need to have a seat at the table, either the governor's chair or the state Senate or potentially the state assembly. So the next time lines are drawn, these lines were drawn in 2011. It was a trifecta of Republicans, Republicans in the governor's chair, Republicans in the assembly, Republicans in the Senate. You make a very valid point, Nate, that Democrats need a win here to be a key player in the next time that lines are drawn. Thank you.
And the issue here is that, because the Supreme Court also looked at a case in Maryland where Democrats were in charge and redrew districts. And the issue is that you need to have a balance in government so that you can have a balance when you are redrawing these districts.
Yes. And the lines, I think, in North Carolina were just thrown out.
Thrown out.
But the court said, we're not going to order new lines drawn to be in place for November 6th.
It's a little soon to be able to do that, yes.
Yes.
We are talking to Steve Walters, and we are taking your calls. 800-642-1234. Jacob from Eau Claire, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you. My son goes to elementary school in Eau Claire. He's in the fifth grade. I was talking to his teacher, and his teacher said that they had to let one teacher go this year because they didn't have enough students coming in, but instead each teacher has been increased the number of students that they have in their class to over 30. He says they don't have enough cubbies or anything in his room to even, you know, handle that many kids in his class, you know, so they have to be, you know, more creative that way. And, you know, and I worry about the attention that he's going to be able to give to, you know, the students in his classroom when he has that many. You know, I only have two kids, and I have a hard time sometimes. and so those kind of things really bother me, and they will affect, you know, how I vote, because education is extremely important to me, because I think of the future. You know, I used to work with in-home care and things like that, you know, and I think about, you know, how am I going to be when I'm at that age, and how are people going to be looking out for me? Mm-hmm. How are people going to be able to help us, and how are they going to be able to handle the government or any sort of job if they're not educated properly or well?
So it's not just education for your kids. It's education as an issue for society.
Absolutely. Jacob, can I ask, is Eau Claire sponsoring a referendum this fall? Because it's so interesting, this phenomena that we used to see about half of school district referendums pass, and now we're up to 80%. So thank you for your call. Is Eau Claire scheduling a referendum?
I'm actually not quite sure.
Okay.
We'll check on that. That would be a nice thing to follow up on an hour talking about. We are taking your calls here for Steve Walters, talking about the races and the issues that are most important to you. Kathy from Madison, welcome to the program.
Hello. I'm very concerned about water quality in our state and the removal of many of the protections through the Department of Natural Resources. We are not emphasizing the safeguarding of the water. The drinking water is not available in some of our counties, and I would like to know how that stacks up as an important issue in this election.
Steve? Kathy, it's a regional issue. It's a huge issue in the 1st Senate District because of the polluted groundwater in Kewaunee. It remains an issue in the Central Sands area, given the legislation that passed that grandfathered in the high-capacity wells. However, that senator, Senator Teston, is not up this year. It's an issue in the 31st with the predominance of frac sand, and it's an issue when you... It's an issue with Foxconn when they want to withdraw millions of gallons from Lake Michigan and return about two-thirds of it. So it's a regional issue, Kathy. As I interview candidates, not every one of them cites safe drinking water, but where it is a regional issue, it is a very important issue. Thank you for your call.
Thank you very much, Kathy. Timothy from Eau Claire, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm a long-time, lifelong Democrat, but as of recent things that happened on a national level with Bernie Sanders getting robbed, the questions being given to Hillary, nobody holding Bill Clinton accountable, I'm more of a big picture. If things are bad at the top, it drifts down to the bottom. And when I hear nothing but impeach Trump, that's not addressing the problems in our party. It's not addressing anything. I'm part of the walkaway, and we're over a million strong now. But this big blue wave that everybody's talking about, I'm not seeing it. I mean, 1 million people countrywide may not be that significant. Maybe only the 1%, I don't know. But it's growing, and it's still significant enough to actually get the Democratic Party to start holding their people. I mean, Donna Brazile came out and said it. Hillary should have never, we wouldn't be sitting here with Trump right now if Bernie would have ran. But the Democrats at the high level allowed corruption
okay.
to every corner.
Timothy, Timothy, thanks for your call. Are you going to sit out November 6th? Are you going to go to the polls?
You know what? If I did go to the polls, out of protest, I would vote Republican.
You would vote Republican? You would cast a ticket for all the Republicans as a fallen Democrat, fallen away Democrat?
I was a born JFK Democrat, and that man held the government accountable at every level. Reserve. To the military industrialized complex. We need another JFK. That's what we need.
That's very interesting. So you think the Republicans are more capable of addressing your bread and butter issues?
No, but you know what? I'm not broke. I'm not going to ride a broken bicycle. It's not taking me anywhere.
Well, thank you very much, Timothy. We've been talking to Steve Walters, who is handicapping the Senate races. He says there are six that are in play. There are a couple more that may be in play, and that may switch the Senate from Republican to Democrat. Really quickly, people are going to be going to the polls for a lot of things. There's a big U.S. Senate race in this state. There are important U.S. House of Representatives races.
Right.
So how are these going to play into how the legislature is going to turn out?
Oh, boy.
big things.
Look, the next budget is incredibly important in terms of K-12 and in terms of who's at the table for redistricting. I can't predict, but it's such a fascinating year in Wisconsin politics. Hang on.
We have been talking to Steve Walters. He's a senior producer at Wisconsin Eye and the former Madison bureau chief for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Steve is pretty much the most knowledgeable politics guy in Wisconsin. Everybody has told me that, and that is what I find when I talk to him. We're going to have you back as the races continue. Thanks for being here, Steve.
Gary, thanks very much. Enjoy it.
I'm Carrie Kaufman. It's The Morning Show, and you are listening to the Ideas Network.